When we get involved in Parshat Noach, many times we have a tendency to immerse ourselves in the beginning of the Parsha. And the reason why is because it's such a fascinating story. It lends itself, obviously, to a tremendous amount of interpretation. But I'd like to concentrate on a particular episode that happens towards the end of the Parsha itself, based on an interpretation and commentary of Rabbi Tzvi Dov Kanatopsky, one of the great Talmidim students of Rav Soloveitchik, within his Sefer, The Depths of Simplicity. And based on his explanation, expand upon what I think is an extremely important lesson regarding this episode at the end of Parshat Noach. In Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the Torah tells us or recounts for us the famous happening that occurred by the Migdal Babel, this Babel Tower, this tower which was attempted by many people to construct. Famous Chazal, which explains that many people fell and plummeted to their deaths during the construction of this tower, and how there was a lack of sensitivity, there was one language only to be confused by many languages as part of either a punishment or reprimand by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to these people who attempted to construct this tower in what appears or what is told to us from the time that we are children, an outright rebellion against the divinity of God, against the heavens above. The Torah says, "Vayehi kol haaretz safa achat udvarim achadim." It appeared that the entire land, after the tragic consequence of the Mabul, the destruction, the flood, which destroyed the entire world and civilization as we would know it at the time, now, in restoring the civilization, everyone, all of mankind, were of one language and together, united, for some purpose. What was this purpose? Rashi says, Achadim. They were united. Achadim comes from the word echad, one. There was oneness. There was unity, togetherness. However, it appears that this togetherness, this unity, was distorted. It was not for a productive or compassionate purpose. Says Rashi as follows, Achadim ba'u be'itza achad. They came together with one idea. Ve'amru, lo kol emenu shi'evor lo et alyonim na'ale l'rakia v'na'aseh imo milchama. He says, not all of us, the people said, can deal with or should be destroyed. Let us go and fight against what is above us, namely Hashem. Davar acher, dvarim achadim, says Rashi, amru, שניים ארקיה מתנותית כשם שעשיתי בימי המבול, בואו ונעשה לו סמוכות. על ייחודו של עולם. One interpretation of this achadim comes from the word chadim. They were sharp. They were sharpened within their philosophy, within their theology, against, in an outright rebellion against God. The question is, where does Rashi receive this interpretation? What prompts Rashi to understand that this achdut, this unity that they had, was not a constructive one, but rather a destructive one? This echad could very well have come from the source of chadim, of being sharp, of being critical and insensitive to God and the world around them. That's the first question. The second question is, within the description of the proposed plan of these various people, the Torah in Pasuk Gimel says, Vayomru ish el reyehu, man turns to his fellow man, and they said, Hava nilbena levenim v'disrafra leseifa, let us construct bricks, let us mold them within fire and flame, they were able to mold some type of form. They were able to construct the brick. Vayomru, then in Pasuk Dalid, verse 4, which immediately follows, they said, Hava nivne lanu ir umigdal v'rosho bashamayim. Let us build a city or a tower, towering city. which we can reach the heavens above. Says Rabbi Kanatovsky quite appropriately, it would appear that these two psukim, these two verses, are out of context. Logically, we would have placed verse 4 before verse 3. Pasuk Dalid should have appeared before Pasuk Gimel. Why? Because first the Torah should have described the proposed plan that let us go build a city or a tower which would tower over a city. And then the way that the tower is constructed is indeed by molding bricks. And yet the Torah first tells us that they molded bricks, and then they built this, they proposed to build this large tower. There are those commentaries, therefore, who explain that in actuality, both of these verses have nothing to do with each other. They are separate entities. There was one idea, which was to build bricks. There was a second idea, which was to build a towering city. But what is the significance of building bricks? What was the significance of the proposed plan of constructing this tall tower, which may have been facilitated through the bricks themselves? The source of the problem that exists here is regarding the people themselves and their reaction to the tragedy which clearly they understood and clearly they heard about, namely the tragedy of the Mabul, the flood which destroyed all of civilization. There's no doubt that this generation, which followed the generation of the flood, either witnessed, or perhaps they didn't witness firsthand because they weren't destroyed themselves, but at the very least they may have heard, or certainly have heard, about the annihilation and the total destruction of a world that once existed. What was their reaction to this destruction? The reaction, herein lies the root and the source of the problem with this particular civilization that existed at the time. The reaction of these people was popularly, according to Rabbi Kanatovsky, to place blame on God. God, it is His fault that this entire tragedy, that this catastrophic consequence occurred. And therefore, it is logical that we, the people within this area, decided that they should take arms or demonstrate against God's sovereignty. However, it goes even further. The people not only said that it was the God who was responsible for the annihilation of the world, but they said even more. If God would not destroy the world, if He does go and destroy, we are better off living without a God. In other words, they said, yes, it's possible that God will decide not to destroy. But it appears that the kind of God who may run this world is the kind of God who makes rash decisions, such as flooding the entire world with rampant waters that would swallow up all of civilization as they would know it. And therefore they came to the conclusion, rather than having a God who would decide to destroy, it is better off that we do not have a God at all. This, my friends, says Rabbi Kanatovsky, could very well be what pointed Rashi in the direction of understanding the word Vayu Achadim, not that they were one, but that they were Chadim, they were short, sharp. Something sharp points, something sharp directs itself into something else. These people were pointing accusations in the way of God. They were sharp in their outright criticisms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. And therefore, their reaction is to build a tower. Why? Says Rabbi Kanatovsky, they said to themselves as follows, if we are ultimately going to be killed,
if our ultimate consequence is dire and that we will be annihilated as well as was the previous generation in the flood, said these people, let's at least leave something of a marking that we once occupied this land. And therefore they said, we will build a tower. If we're going to go to our deaths, let's leave some mark, some symbol, some semblance that we once inhabited the earth. That would be the tower that they would leave. And so essentially, what these people wrote in their script of civilization was a script of doomsday, was a script of doom, of failure. They saw tragic consequence within the flood, and they said, that's the way God wants it. Clearly, this will happen to us as well. Let's leave something behind which demonstrates that we were once here. The problems, therefore, within this entire context of the story are threefold. One is that from the Torah's perspective, what the Torah wants us to learn is that when people are faced, chas v'chalila, God forbid, within the eyes of tragedy, certainly we are not expected to point our fingers in the way of God. We are allowed to question, but we are certainly not allowed to accuse, namely, certainly not allowed to accuse God above. I recall a number of years back, I was sitting in the old Ben-Gurion airport, and I was minding my own business and sitting there quietly, and another fellow, an elderly gentleman, was sitting across from me. A young lady was conducting a survey. Apparently she was working for the Ministry of Tourism. And she approached the man across from me and she asked him, would you mind answering a number of questions? He says, certainly. And she started asking him, what was your impressions of Israel, of the people in Israel? And he was very happy. He was very comfortable. He enjoyed his stay in Eretz Yisrael. And at the end of this quiz, or these questions that she was conducting the survey, she asked him innocently, well, tell me, what exactly do you do? What's your occupation? So he said to her, I'm a Reconstructionist rabbi. This Israeli young lady had never been exposed to Reconstruction denomination, and so she asked, I never heard of that. What is that? So he said to her, well, Reconstructionism is a type of Judaism where we embrace and we respect Jewish tradition. So she said, and she prodded further, she said, well, that sounds very much like Orthodoxy. What's the difference? Said the rabbi, the difference is that Orthodoxy sees God as their general. Reconstruction Judaism, we see God not as our general, but as an equal partner. She said, how can that be? I don't understand. Is God not divine? Is God not above us? Does God not have or seek the all-powerful, the Almighty? So the fellow answered back to her. He said, well, it's very clear. Were God our general, he never would have allowed the Holocaust to transpire. The fact that there can be a Holocaust demonstrates that God's not our general, but that he's our equal partner. I heard what this fellow had to say, and curiously enough, after they finished their conversation, I went over to the young lady, and I said, what do you think about what he had to say? Do you believe that because God allowed, or that the Holocaust happened, that that demonstrates that God's not our general? She said, absolutely not. The fact that the Holocaust happened, she said, demonstrates, if anything, that God is our general. There are consequences, tragedies, that befall people in this world, including entire nations. But if anything, she said, that doesn't give us the right to reject God, but rather it should cause us to open our eyes wider and recognize his omnipresence. Tragedy, from a Jewish perspective, does not allow us to question or to accuse God, but rather tragedy is something which requires introspect. It's something that should require or should introduce to us an analysis and deepen our commitments in some form or fashion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the world around us with compassion and sensitivity. Rabbi Kanetovsky suggests that this is why the punishment, if you may, or the consequence which God gives these people after they attempt to build the tower is in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Tet, confirmed. Al Kain Kara Shema Bavel, Kisham Balal Hashem Svat Kol Haaretz. What is the reaction of God to these people, to their attempt to build the tower? God calls the place Bavel. Bavel coming from the word of confusion. He confuses the tongues. He confuses and mixes all various languages so that man could not communicate in one language with another. Why? Says Rabbi Kamentovsky, the idea was the moment that everyone had their own language and could not necessarily understand one another is the moment that each person would have to talk to themselves. Each person could no longer communicate with others, but the message was very clear. Talk to yourself. Have introspect. Analyze within your own soul searching where you are and why things around you are happening and how you can possibly improve the situation so that, God forbid, such tragic consequences do not occur again. That, says Rabbi Kanetovsky, was the result of this outright a rebellion against God. God says, now you no longer will have a Safa Meshutefet, a common language. Each of you will have your own language so that you can develop your own way of thinking and your own methods of somehow realizing and recognizing God's divinity in this world. Finally, the reaction to adversity is extremely important here as well. We are expected in this world, certainly as Jewish people, to recognize that our reaction to adversity is to leave in this world far more than a physical tower. The message of this particular episode, I believe, comes to a crescendo in its final message. The people said, yes, there's going to be tragedy, we'll also be washed away. Let's leave a physical tower, a symbol to demonstrate that we were here. Jews believe that there are far more effective tools to leave in this world than physicalities, than towers that are constructed with our bare hands. Rather, we subscribe that our strength, our beauty, our revelation is revealed in this world not by what we build physically, but by the morals, the ethics, the ideas that we construct within a spiritual framework. Therefore, the Torah wants us to understand that we are expected to transcend the physical world, and if we want to leave our mark in this world when we are no longer here, do it in a spiritual sense. I believe that this is why Chazal, the rabbis, explain the problem during the construction of this tower was that when people fell off the tower during the construction and they died, no one paid attention to them. Well, maybe no one paid attention to them because they believed that they were going to die anyway. The world is doomed to failure. We're all going to die anyway. We might as well leave our neighbor if he passes on. No big deal. That's what's going to happen to me as well. The message here is that's not what a person is supposed to, or how a person is supposed to react to tragedy. The person sees tragedy, God forbid, he should react by enhancing life, not by embracing death. The Torah tells us very clearly, v'chai bahem, live amongst them, enhance life, produce and be constructive within this world so that life is fully realized. What type of chayim are we talking about? What is life within Jewish context? Eitz chayim hi lemachazikim ba. The tree of life is kihem chayenu ve'orech yamenu. That is what is dictates our actions every single day. Namely, the Torah, our spirituality, our mitzvot, the deep deeds that enable us to strengthen and unify our rapport with God above. Spiritual longevity never ends. When a person is able to instill this world with moral fibers and with ethical conduct, that is something that outlasts generations upon generations. That is something that continues to thrive and survive even when a person's physical form is no longer. Last night, I went to a meeting for my daughter's high school, and at the meeting, unfortunately, the principal of the high school explained that there was a terrible tragedy this past summer. Two of the girls who had attended the high school died in an unfortunate accident. It was a horrible, horrible tragedy that occurred to our community, and many people are familiar with it. Two young girls lost their lives in a terrible accident, and the principal said that what they're doing as an askara to remember the memory or to commemorate the memory of these two young girls, Nebuch, who lost their lives, is they're having every single month, they're accentuating a particular midat tova, a particular positive attribute that the entire Ulpana, the entire girls' high school, will concentrate and learn about. This month, she said, they're concentrating on the midat, the attribute of hakarat tov, of being appreciative, of the ayin tova, of having a positive perspective in life and appreciating what one has around them. We as Jewish people do not commemorate or concentrate on tragedy, but rather we look at tragedy for a reason to further our subservience to Hashem, to further promote positive behavior within this world. Rabotai, I want you to understand that even within the context of my words on this week's parsha, we do not necessarily, chalila, we should never know tragedies within our communities, within our homes, within our families. God forbid we should ever know them. And I think it's important to mention that we don't have to only see things within the face of tragedy, but we should be able to see things even with a positive experience every day. Every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us to have a new bereshit, a new beginning, to appreciate the world around us, to appreciate the wondrous gifts that God gives to us on a daily basis. The very fact that we are awakened with Elokai Neshama Shenatata Bi, Ata Barata Bi, Ata Yatzarta, Ata Nafachta Bi. God, you breathe new life in me every single day on a new basis. That is a wondrous opportunity that we are given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I believe that this is why immediately after this episode, this tragedy where this Migdal Bavel, this Tower of Babel fails, we are immediately introduced to the light of the world, to our Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, who the Ramban compares to Or, light, and he looks at Terach, his father, as the Choshech, the darkness. Avram introduces light to this world. Avram sees beyond the here and now. Avram is someone who has introspect, who thinks as an individual, who sees an entire civilization who worships idols and subscribes to idolatry, and he says, it does not make sense. It does not sit well with me. That's Avram's ability to think as an individualist. And therefore, he realizes and relates to the fact that God sends us messages and reasons our ways in different forms and fashion. That's what enables Avram to see and to expose and discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Yehi Ratzon, that we should be zocha never to have to experience tragedies, both within our own personal lives and within the national lives of the Jewish people. And at the same time, we should be able every day to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability
to instill us with life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence within our days as Jews, as we go through our various functions and activities throughout our basis. And in Mirtz Hashem, as a result of our embracing and appreciating those particular characteristics that God gives us, we should be zoche to continue to promote the light of God, the light of Torah, and to truly witness kihem chayenu v'orech yameinu, longevity of life through the ethics and spirituality that we instill in this world. Shabbat Shalom.